It's not nice to fool Mother Nature, but what if it's the Federal Reserve fooling financial markets? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The Federal Reserve's big surprise, its bond-buying stimulus, will just keep on coming. The U.S. economy is not strong enough yet to taper off, was the logic that caught the market consensus off guard. The Dow went up 147 points, 1% yesterday, to 15,676, a record closing high. The S&P hit a new record as well, with the prospect of corporate and consumer borrowing costs staying lower rather than higher, moving into the autumn. In Europe this morning, a similar effect. The FT 100 in London is up 1.4% at the moment. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more from the British capital.
Investors here have been pleasantly surprised by the Fed announcement. They had been expecting a cut of at least $10 billion a month in the Fed's bond purchases. The fact that the purchases will go on as before and the flood of cheap money will continue has buoyed up stock and bond prices in Europe today. Some economic analysts, however, are not celebrating. Howard Wealdon says the Fed stimulus is beginning to look permanent.
Where do you end? Where do you stop? Do we reach a period where it is actually impossible to stop it and it goes on a permanent basis? I think that would be extremely dangerous.
Another leading London commentator said the Fed's decision could lead to another massive bubble in stock and house prices, leading to another catastrophic implosion that would make the last crisis look like a blip. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's taken more than 2 years to get this from a law passed in Congress and signed by the president into a new SEC proposal this week. Companies have to publish a statistic for all to see. Take the CEO's pay and divide by the median compensation of all employees. This pay ratio idea gained strength during the financial crisis. Marketplace's Mark Garrison examines what might be gleaned when one of these ratios comes in at, say, 200 to 1 or 1,000 to 1.
Companies say they don't like pay ratios because they're complicated and expensive to calculate. There's some merit to that, but let's say someone finds an easy way to do the math. Stanford business professor Dave Larker says the resulting rankings won't be fair.
Retail, supermarkets, and things like that, you're going to have a lot of workers that are paid at a fairly low level. It's just the nature of that business, and that ratio is, generally speaking, going to be quite high.
A Bloomberg analysis shows J.P. Morgan Chase and Chipotle had similar CEO pay but completely different pay ratios, simply because bankers make a lot more than burrito rollers. Whole industries could look bad. But University of Denver law professor Jay Brown says that worry misses the point.
While maybe other people can take it out of context and use it for different reasons, the reality is securities laws are designed to inform shareholders, and this information is useful in making an informed decision when they vote on executive compensation.
He thinks pay ratios will be helpful as a way to compare how companies change pay packages over time. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison for Marketplace.
Now let's check the numbers. I mentioned the FTSE, and the DAX index in Germany is up 1.1%. The typically volatile Nikkei in Japan closed up 1.8%. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up again this morning. The 10-year Treasury yield is way down to 2.71%, which makes sense if the Fed is going to keep on buying, say, $85 billion in bonds next month to keep the stimulation going. Banks are under fire for a lucrative side business, buying and selling physical commodities like oil and precious metals. Critics say this can drive up the costs of commodities, a cost borne ultimately by consumers. Regulators are looking into this, and now the financial services industry's largest lobby group has funded a report saying banks provide a small but vital role in the supply of natural resources, smoothing out the markets and making prices more predictable. These days, banks can operate power plants, oil tankers, and own warehouses full of metal like platinum and aluminum. Among the authors of the industry-funded report, analyst Daniel Yergin, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his history of the oil industry. It was also a PBS series called The Prize. From time to time, we like to talk to Leon Krause, who's the big anchor for KMEX Univision Station in Los Angeles.
Hi, David. How are you?
It's probably hard to overstate the impact that professional soccer has in Mexico, but give it a try. How important is it to the economy, do you suppose?
The impact is immense, and we are going through a rough time right now since the Mexican team is so close to being eliminated from the finals in the World Cup, something that hasn't happened in like 20-something years. And the economic impact of that would be immense, David. I mean, we're talking about a business that's worth at least $600 million in Mexico alone. During the last World Cup in South Africa, Mexico's jersey outsold all others. According to Adidas, more than 1.2 million Mexican shirts were sold. The team has, for example, an ongoing $40 million sponsorship deal with Coke. So we're really talking about big, big business here.
But it's not just in Mexico, is it, the effect? If the team doesn't make it, we might feel it north of the border.
If the team doesn't make it to the World Cup, everything related to it will devaluate. And radio and TV stations in Mexico, but also in the United States, would probably suffer greatly from the ratings and the loss of advertising. The Mexican team is a revenue machine for companies on both sides of the border, so it would be a tragedy if the team doesn't qualify for Brazil.
Are you actually worried, my friend, that Mexico might not make it to the World Cup?
Well, I think in the end the team will make it. It would take a catastrophe for the team to lose against Panama in Azteca Stadium. Just to put things under perspective, previous to our recent defeat against Honduras, Mexico had only lost one official match in Azteca Stadium. That's one match in half a century. I really hope, for the team's sake, the fans, and my five-year-old son, that we get to see the team in the finals.
All right. Well, we'll be watching. Leon Krause, anchor at Univision's KMEX in Los Angeles. Thank you.
Pray for us.
Let's leave it at that. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report on APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.